This is an ABC podcast.
ABC AFL Daily with Poppy Penny and Paul Roos.
Here it is!
Hello, it's the ABC AFL Daily podcast. My name is Poppy Penny and with me is seven-time All-Australian Premiership coach Paul Roos. Roosie, hello.
Hello, Poppy. How are you?
Good. I'm still, I think, recovering from Adelaide, but we'll get there by the end of the week. I reckon I'll be back in business. I want to talk, first of all, a couple of newsy bits. And Patrick Voss from the Dockers copped a three-week suspension. It was upheld. They went to the tribunal. I feel like this is the first time this season that I've seen an incident that's been given a pretty heavy sanction, and I've gone, yep, that's about right. I feel like this is the first time this season that I've thought there is no confusion and everyone's got it right. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I was surprised they went to the tribunal and tried to argue it, because as soon as it happened, it was one of those ones where you go, oh, geez, that didn't. And I remember the sort of camera angle wasn't great, the live camera angle, but you sort of thought, gee, that didn't look great. Like, we haven't seen something like that for a fair period of time. And then once they showed the replay and then Boston going off with a blood nose and obviously subsequently the broken nose, I think they said. Yeah, I totally agree. I think this one was pretty clear cut. But then the problem with this, you go, well, how does that kid get 3 weeks for just pushing someone innocuously into a contest? So I don't know, what was their argument? Did you look at, were they trying to get the grading down or something like that?
Yeah, trying to grade it down from severe to high. So it would have gone from 3 weeks to 2 weeks. They were never trying to get him off all the way, because I think the result of the nose being broken and that sort of thing, I think it was never going to get downgraded to nothing, but get it down to 2 weeks. I honestly thought the same thing. I thought, yep, that's correct. For the first time this season, I think that's the decision we all expected to happen. And I think, you know, everybody moves on and Patrick Voss has a three-week holiday. The other newsy thing I want to touch on is Willy Rioli. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Yeah. He's since taken a short leave from the club. They expect him to be back in time for the weekend's matches. He's also deleted or at least deactivated his Instagram. And this is largely off the back of some really awful messages that he was receiving. And I don't want to specifically talk about Willy, but I think as a code, and we've talked about this a lot, the AFLPA, Paul Marsh, has spoken and said, basically, if you're out there sending these messages, let's just cut it out, hey? This is just so unacceptable.
I don't know. It leaves you speechless, doesn't it? It's so disappointing. And I just get disappointed in humanity. I don't want to get too deep here, but what are we doing as human beings? Like, have a look at yourself. Get up. If you're one of these people that have done something to Willy Rioli or, you know, Adam Goods when it was happening or whatever, get up, get out of your chair, walk in the bathroom and look at who you are. Have a really good look at yourself in the mirror. What do you stand for? What do you represent? Who are you? Because there's something deeply wrong with what you're going through for you to do something like that. I think that's how it affects most people. So whether it's Willy or Goodsy or any of those, you know, I think Eddie Betts went through it. We're standing with you. You know, just know that, you know, I'm hoping this is a minority and the majority of people are good people. But for those of you who are not, in relation to this, get a grip. Look at yourself, judge where you're at, and hold yourself accountable to some really bad behaviour.
That's really, really well said, Roosie. And I think, as you touch on, you kind of lived a version with that, with Adam Goods and what happened there. And we hope that this doesn't happen to Willy Rioli and that he comes back to the club and he's really well supported by Port Adelaide and is able to come back and play some great footy, because we know that that's what he can do. He's such a special player when he's at his best. And we hope that he's back this weekend and back to himself and that this just doesn't happen again, because as you say, it's just so wrong and our footballers shouldn't have to deal with it.
Yeah, look, I mean, Willie's a terrific player. We shouldn't go to the football and marvel at what players can do, regardless of what their background is. We should look at them as all human beings and footballers, and yeah, we can boo them when they do something wrong and kick the ball out of bounds or, yeah, we've all done that. I was a coach in the coach's box. I've abused players plenty of times, but it wasn't in relation to where they came from, their parents or their heritage or anything like that. It was the fact that they gave away a 50-metre penalty. So I don't think anyone's, you know, no one's saying, you know, let's tiptoe around the contest of the game and the pageantry, but enough is enough with the racist and the other comments that people, I mean, it's just totally unacceptable. Hope Willie comes back and plays really well this weekend.
I have images of you in a coach's box booing somewhere at the SCG, which makes me laugh. You know who probably is not overly happy in their coach's box at the moment? And that's Andrew McWalter. The Eagles are having a super tough time. And Jake Waterman, who's one of their leaders, came out and said this on 6PR in Perth this week.
I wouldn't say it's the quantity of training we're doing during the week. I'd say it's the quality of when we're out there that we need to improve. And I'd say that we need to really amp up in that level and really improve. We have got such a young list at the moment where we have got all these young guys coming through that, you know, a few of them, you know, don't quite understand what it's like to train AFL standard.
If you were coaching this group, how would you be responding to a sentiment like that, that the young guys on the list aren't training or don't know how to train to an AFL standard?
Well, I'd be blaming Jake Waterman. That's what I'd be doing. I'd be taking response to Jake. How long have you been at the footy club? Are you telling the young players that they're not training at acceptable standards? Don't leave it to the coach to do it. Take some responsibility. That's an alarming admission from a player who's a senior player at a football club that won a premiership not that long ago. That's an indictment on Jake Waterman. He needs to have a look at himself as well. If that's happening at the club and he's not doing anything about it, what I would have loved to follow up, and to be fair to Jake, maybe we didn't get the full conversation or maybe didn't get it out. His follow-up should have been, and I'll take responsibility that I need to educate the players more. I'll help the coach as much as I possibly can. I think I read a rather disturbing, I think it was it Graham or one of the Richmond players said that they just don't train enough. I don't know whether Jake was responding to that comment. You know, coming from Richmond, he said, I don't train enough. You know, I'm surprised. And I've said this till the cows come home. AFL players, young AFL players, are not at the club enough to improve. And that's what's happening at the West Coast Eagles now. They've obviously got one less training session because they're flying, but they're not at the club. They're in Greece, they're in Italy, they're in Bali. They spend a lot of time on holidays. They're having great time, but they're not perfecting their craft and they're not spending enough time. And I really hope Darcy Moore takes this more seriously than what the Players Association have done in the past. They have far too much time off and they need to now consider themselves as fully professional, not semi-professional athletes, and that will make the change and help West Coast Eagles get better quicker.
So Jake Waterman went on to say, we do run extra sessions, but we just have to make sure the young guys are getting to them and that sort of thing. And I think that goes into what you're saying. If you're Jake Waterman, you're maybe grabbing the young group of forwards or a young group of mids and saying, hey, come down with me and we'll run some extra sessions. And Liam Baker, who's one of those guys who's come across this year with premiership experience at the Tigers, he said of this week that it was pathetic. That was the word he used. What kind of damage can that kind of language do? Or will it do the opposite and have some of those young guys go, we can't have one of our players coming in and calling this group pathetic?
But again, I hope they're saying it inside the footy club rooms and not outside. I mean, we're now in round 5 or 6. Like they've had, now to be fair to Andrew, he's only had one pre-season, but they've had enough time to have conversations around their training standards. Like that is just ridiculous. I mean, my experience was opposite at Melbourne, and I used to get Bernie Vince and Daniel Cross to say, guys, to the players, your training standards are as good as anyone's, but you're not translating that to game day. Trust yourselves more in game day that you can run. So that is alarming. That is really concerning at an AFL club, and it's an indictment on the players that have been there for a number of years. Like even Harley Reid, how can his standards... Now, he's still going to be learning, but it's an indictment on the... the second, third, fourth year players on Liam Duggan, on Jake Waterman, on Elliot Yeo, Adam Simpson. It's an indictment on Adam Simpson that the players are saying that. If you've got Richmond players that have come three premierships and they're saying that to the West Coast Eagles, I'm standing up and taking notice if I'm Harley Reid or some of those young players.
Well, we can maybe expect a response this weekend, which is bad news for the Bombers because they're playing them this weekend and they're just sort of looking like they're rolling. The Bombers beat the D's on the weekend and Simon Goodwin has spoken a couple of times since their fifth consecutive loss of the season and he's backed himself. He believes he's the right man for the job, which feels very full support of the board, which we know isn't always the greatest phrase that you want to hear. Can he regather this team?
Let's explore it differently to give the listeners a bit of an insight. So What is happening now at the Melbourne Footy Club, or what was happening last week at the Carlton Footy Club, or what is happening behind closed doors? Now, some of it is largely speculation, but some of it I've lived it and breathed it. With having played at Fitzroy in bottom teams, and then Rodney Eade obviously left. There's clearly discussions. There's going to be discussions, whether that's the chairman of Carlton, chairman of Melbourne. They're making phone calls. They're ringing around. They're ringing, Alan Richardson. They're ringing the head of football. There's clearly conversations that are happening. This is what's happening. Now, what else happens is people get agitated in, coterie groups. So they're starting to make phone calls. Everyone's ringing everyone else. So this is the reality of what's happening at a footy club that is under pressure. Now, what's the mechanics of how people get reassured? It's the chairman speak. I know when I was under pressure at Sydney early days, I know that Richard Collis rang Andrew Ireland, and Andrew would say, "Richard, no problems. Everything's under control. Yeah, I understand we're not playing good footy 2005. There is a reality around." So we can hear the coach, but the coach is going to say, "I'm the right person for the job," regardless of whether they are or not. But what I want the listeners to understand, yes, there's a dynamic going on behind the scenes at Melbourne, as there would be at Carlton last week. And if Carlton lose again, absolutely. Who controls the narrative? Largely the head of football. Whoever's the head of football will be controlling the narrative, will be placating the board, placating the CEO, placating whoever they need to placate. But it is happening. That is the reality of football.
So Hawthorn was 0-5 this time last year, ended up making finals, having a big impact. What do you see as the main differences between that side and what we're seeing at the Demons this year?
Well, I think it's largely around their culture, isn't it? I mean, that's been questioned a lot over the last 2 years. I think we heard Carrie Pirk come out 2 years ago and say it's the best culture you've been involved in. So I think there's the on-field that would be concerning clearly, but the wheels would be spinning. Is this off-field stuff? Why is Christian Petrarca? Why did he want to leave last year? Why do we want to trade, Clayton Oliver? That's the difference between potentially a Carlton, because largely Carlton, correct me if I'm wrong, Poppy, we don't really hear too much untoward around Carlton players or the footy club. So I think Carlton, if we use just these two as an analogy right now, Carlton's conversations would largely be around, well, can Vossi coach? Is he X's and O's, et cetera, et cetera? The narrative at Melbourne is different. What really happened with Christian Petrarca and the kidney? What is happening with the parents? Are the parents upset? Will Christian Petrarca stay at the footy club? Why did we want to trade Clayton Oliver? So there's a dramatically different narrative going on at the Melbourne Football Club than there is at the Carlton Football Club. And that herein lies the problem for potentially Simon Goodwin, because we've already seen Gary Pert leave. We've seen Kate Roffey leave, the chairman and the CEO. The centres of influence are, there's probably only two left, which is the head of football and the senior coach. So, look, everyone's smart. Everyone knows what's going on. Everyone knows Simon Goodwin's under pressure.
I want to finish today by talking a little bit more about free agency. We touched on it yesterday with the list having been released. We've talked a lot about Oscar Allen and the meeting that he had with Sam Mitchell. And if you look across codes, that's what's happening in the NRL at the moment with Lachie Galvin at the West's Tigers. It's kind of ugly. For context, for people who don't follow the NRL, he's announced that he's leaving the club at the end of next season, so the end of 2026. His teammates are angry. They're posting on social media about it. Fans are really frustrated. He's been dropped for their match this weekend. Are we in danger of this happening in the AFL?
Well, this is the reason I think it's an important topic, because on the back of Oscar Allen, it's not like we don't know what can potentially happen, because you look at the NRL and this has happened a lot. I think Dylan Brown from the Parramatta Eels, who's playing this year, has signed with the Newcastle Knights. My question is, and I said this last week, what do we want the AFL to look like? Because we have an insight. We now have a young player at the West Tigers that's contracted till the end of next year, that's come out publicly and said, "Well, I don't want to be at the footy club." And I know there's been some discussion last week, oh, we're mature as an industry, we should be able to do these things. Well, if that's what you want, do you want a free agent at the end of, let's say a free agent this year, and I don't know who's free agent at the end of next year, do we want a free agent? Now, a normal player can't do it because they're actually going to get traded, but do we want a free agent signing with a club 18 months in advance? That is what happens in the NRL. You've now got a club that's 19-year-old, one of their most talented players, has publicly come out and said, I don't want to play at this football club. His teammates are now saying, well, we don't want to play with him. And I believe what's happened is they've gone to the coach, Benji Marshall, and said, Benji, don't play him. We don't want to play him. So I think that's why it's an important discussion today. What I am saying is we have an insight into the future. We can see what it looks like. Do we want our game to go like the NRL game? Me, as an ex-player, an ex-coach, and a fan of the game, unequivocally, no. I don't want that. And that's why I was so strong on the Oscar Allen thing. It's unnecessary. Are players changing clubs? Are their managers allowed to speak? 100%. The window exists at the end of the season to make decisions. Now, you can even make a decision during the year. I don't care. But don't publicly announce it. Don't publicly meet with Sam Mitchell. Poppy, what are your views on it?
I think that players are the club's greatest marketing strategy. Players are everything that the club puts out to fans. And if you're a fan, you're invested not just in the club, but in the players that play for that club. And if you then find out that that player is not invested back, it needs to feel like a two-way street. You need to feel like the players you're paying your membership money for, buying merchandise for, cheering for week in, week out, whether they win, lose or draw, you need to feel like they are as invested as you. And if you've got him going, well, next year I'm out, well, he's not invested, is he?
Well, not only is he not invested, but why are you putting time into him? I mean, unless you're in the window, and this is where it gets a bit murky because I've heard players say this or people, if you're in the premiership window, you know, do you play him? But why are you investing in a 19-year-old? Why are you playing him to develop him for another footy team? It doesn't make any sense at all. And you're right. Do the fans really want to see someone running around in the senior team that they know is clearly not invested? Now you're going to be fair, you are going to have some players, and I'll flip the narrative a little bit. You are have players that are professional. And I'm not saying in all cases they're not going to be giving 100%, because a lot of players are just really professional, know what they're doing, hold themselves accountable, and will still play at a high level. It's not about that. What it is about is the club in general. Do you want to develop a young player for another club? Do you want to play someone that the fans go, well, why are you playing him? The leadership group clearly at West Tigers have said, no, we don't want to play with this player. So it's just definitely a conversation that's worth having. And the AFL need to look at it really, really closely. I think it was Nick Riewoldt talked about putting some anti-tampering rules in. And I agree with that. I agree. The window is there, Poppy. You have a manager for a reason. I'm not saying don't change clubs, because I change clubs myself. But what I'm saying is there's a window and there can be rules around it, and we can do it professionally and properly without exposing Oscar Allen and Sam Mitchell and without the West Tigers farce that's going on at the moment.
I think it's going to be one to watch over the next couple of years as we see player movement increase, free agency increase. So one to watch for us. Rizzi, you and I will be back tomorrow to preview round 6. There is a heap of footy to preview. There's some great Easter clashes. We get a long weekend, which means we get extra days of footy, which is fantastic news. So we'll speak to you tomorrow. Thanks for your time, Rizzi.
Thanks, Poppy. Look forward to it.